Good morning.
Good morning.
I've talked about this in the past, but I think it's worthy of being repeated. And what I'm going to talk about is the never-ending pursuit of happiness. There's an author named Ken MacLeod, who's also a teacher of Tibetan Buddhism. And he received Dharma transmission from Kalu Rinpoche. And he mentions in a book that he's written a commentary on Tibetan verses from Tokmi Zangpo, and two lines from these verses in regard happiness. The lines are, "The happiness of the three worlds disappears in a moment, like a dewdrop on a blade of grass." So happiness disappears in a moment. And MacLeod comments in his book, "The pursuit of happiness for its own sake is a fool's errand. Happiness, it seems, is a transient state, depending on many conditions. And because this is so, pain and suffering can replace happiness in a moment." And if we look deeper, happiness is an emotion, a feeling, that can be very intoxicating. We tend not to want to let it go. Unfortunately, clinging to happiness while avoiding pain and suffering just results in more unhappiness and more suffering. Now, because I'm a Zen teacher, of course, I've never clinged to happiness and pushed away suffering, but I'm really talking to the rest of you. So, most people seem to be mostly concerned with their own happiness, much less with the happiness of others. And the pursuit of happiness seems to be, in fact, grounded in selfishness. So if you were to ask most people, what do they want most from life? I think most people would say, I want to be happy. So happiness is usually what we feel when we get something we have always wanted. Typically, the feeling lasts 2 or 3 days. But then what? We are disappointed that we don't feel happy anymore. And this can happen in our practice as well. We sit diligently and begin to experience peace from the constant chatter of our minds. Or we may even have an opening. And this opening may bring tears of joy to our eyes. And then we get a taste of the basic oneness of life. We feel a deep connection to all around us. So far, so good. But there is a tendency to cling to these kinds of experiences and the joy and happiness they bring. It's as if we had finally arrived in heaven, a destination where the ultimate happiness exists. And because we feel like we've arrived at a destination, of course, want to stay there. Instead of an arrival in heaven, we eventually get confronted by a wake-up call. The messiness of life returns. Maybe someone steals our car, which creates major inconveniences. Our partner, rather than being supportive, claims about how dumb we were to leave the keys in the ignition of the car. So wait a minute. This isn't heaven. It feels like hell. Life turns on a dime right before our eyes. We're upset for days, and because we meditate, this stuff isn't supposed to happen. It's heaven, for God's sake. For days, maybe weeks, we long to return to that place of peace and of happiness. And if we listen closely, if we pay attention to what our body and our mind is telling us, we realize that the message is that there is nothing that is permanent. Let's look at happiness for a moment from a cultural and a societal perspective. Bookstores, both online or in the mall, devote considerable space to books or CDs that promise to provide the path to true happiness. Infomercials clog the airways with Hollywood figures, psychologists, and public figures presenting revolutionary new plans for how to become a happy person, Research shows the public pays enormous sums of money in the pursuit of happiness. Corporations and companies also promote happiness. Campbell's Soup is apparently now making our happy place anywhere we have one of their soups. They offer a smile in every spoonful. So imagine that. I'm going to fill my cabinets with Campbell's Soup. Coca-Cola is now offering more than refreshment. Coca-Cola is offering you that if you open a can or a bottle, you will experience happiness. And JetBlue has roadside billboards that now promise if you fly with them, you will be jet happy. You know, so it goes. So what should we make of all of this? Should we all just get depressed and die? Zen teaches us to give up pursuing any special state. We are encouraged to live life in the present moment and wait to see what it has to offer. My old friend Bernie Glassman frequently talks about people who constantly complain about what they don't have and how they identify themselves as have-nots or victims. He encourages people to look at their lives carefully and see what they do have, what the ingredients are right before them. And like a good chef, take these ingredients at hand and make the best soup. Right? So we look at our lives, and we don't define ourselves by what we don't have. We take what we have, and we do the best we can with what we have. Dogen Zenji, for those of you who are new, is a famous Zen master, wrote, "Drifting pitifully in the whirlwind of birth and death, as if wandering in a dream in the midst of illusion, I awaken to the true path. There is one more matter I must not neglect, but I need not to bother now, as I listen to the sound of the evening rain falling on the roof of my temple retreat." Right, so what he's talking about is going from moaning about life and appreciate the rain just falling on the roof. That's a gift. But because our minds are so active and we're so much in the pursuit of happiness, we miss right before us an opportunity to be happy. So what is an antidote to the pursuit of happiness? If we sit diligently, we slowly cultivate equanimity. And equanimity comes from the Latin word aquis, meaning balanced, and from animus, meaning spirit or inner state. So according to Zen teacher Shinsen Yong, it means a balanced inner state where emotions flow through us rather than getting stuck. Right? So let happiness flow through, and if anger comes, let anger flow through, and if sadness comes, let sadness flow through. But don't hold it. Do not hold it. So in essence, we learn to move in harmony with the ebb and flow of life, both our internal life and our external life. It's being in the middle of this craziness called life and not getting knocked off balance, not getting caught in grasping for happiness and hiding from suffering and unhappiness. And, you know, by the way, these are just words, happiness, suffering. You know, they're things that we name. And we make up culturally and individually, you know, that we follow one name versus another name. And that's one of the reasons why we get stuck. You know, we hold to this name, happiness, and we push away this other word, suffering. But if we let go of the names, if we let go of what we've identified as good and bad, these things just pass through us, and we are much more calmly able to experience them and work with them. So it's not that there's no such thing as happiness, but we understand, like everything else, it's transient, right? Gone in an instant. The good news is, so is suffering. Suffering can be gone in an instant. In sitting, we cultivate equanimity, the ability to be fully present to each moment without exception, so that we can respond in harmony to each moment. If it is a cause for joy or happiness, we will be joyful or happy. If it is cause for grief or sadness, that's how we will respond. A few weeks ago, in a talk, I made reference to a time when Maizumi Roshi, who started this lineage in America, was asked, what is mother? And Bernie Glassman, who was his head monk at the time, gave some kind of a Zen answer. And Maizumi looked at him and said, no! So a little while later, this was at a retreat, a novice student said to him, Roshi, please tell us, what is mother? And almost instantly, he sat still. He sat quietly for a minute or two. And then he just began sobbing. And he had been very close to his mother, who had died when he was young. So in that moment, and probably not even on purpose, he was demonstrating what it is to express in the moment. And in that moment, it was incredible sadness. So teachers of Zen, teachers of any spiritual practice, go through all these same things. Because that's life. You cannot pretend that life exists other than as transient. So, we don't want to cling to one state over another, because we know through direct experience that this only causes suffering. It only takes us out of the moment, which is to miss the point if we lose the present moment. So, thank you.